We're going to be again in Acts chapter 8 this morning, starting in verse number 26. There could probably be multiple titles for the message today, but you could say God's love for individuals, or God wants to use you to reach individuals. God's love for individuals, or God wants to use you to reach individuals. When the book of Acts transitions from ministry in Jerusalem to ministry in Samaria, it seems like circumstances drove Philip to preach in Samaria. I'm not saying that God was not directing his ministry, but at times God may direct us in ways that are indirect. Verse 4 indicates of chapter 8 that therefore they were scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the gospel. And the verse before that talks about Saul dragging people off to prison, Christians primarily. So Christians were scattered because of Saul's persecution of the church. Verse 5 indicates that when Philip was scattered, the direction he chose to go was Samaria. And I believe that that probably was intentional, but maybe not. Remember what the context we know that Jesus had already commanded them to go in Acts 1:8, and one of the places he directly told them was Samaria. And remember the context of Jesus' words in Acts 1:8. Do you remember what the context of those words are? They are the last words spoken by our Lord to his apostles. Moments before, he rose up in front of them, and the clouds took him out of his sight as he rose to heaven. You know, I think when Jesus gives you last words, you're going to make those pretty important. If he's had years to speak to his apostles and these are the last things he says, we're going to mark that as pretty important for Christians. So Acts 1:8, I hope many of you can have memorized it and can say it. It says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto him both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and under the uttermost parts of the earth. What's it been called by Christians? The Great Commission. The Great Commission. If you hear, maybe you're young as a Christian and you don't know what the Great Commission is, it's the idea of this passage. That Christians have been commissioned to go out and spread the gospel in their Jerusalem, the area they live, Judea, that surrounding area, Samaria, those who in that kind of close area, but we may not get along with those people, and to the uttermost parts of the earth, that takes us everywhere. So it's been some time since Jesus left the apostles with this charge. Once we get to this point, some believe it could have been up to 5 years. Some believe it's been 1 year. We don't know for sure. We just know it's been some time since that happened. I would say it's probably more than a year, but don't know if it's been 5 years. But it's been some time. Up to this point in our study of Acts, we've seen that the church doesn't seem to have attempted to go beyond Jerusalem. There's not been any mention of people really going beyond Jerusalem. That's not saying the outlying areas have not been somewhat reached, but there's not been really a mention of it. Were the apostles neglecting the commission? Some people believe that. Some people believe the apostles were neglecting the Great Commission. It's really hard to say. We're not told. We know from our previous study that in Jerusalem, they had been overwhelmed with the ministry they had just in Jerusalem with the people. So overwhelmed, they couldn't accomplish it alone, and so they chose 7 to help them. And I can't imagine with the numbers that we were talking about that just those 12 and then the seven were really capable of doing all the ministry that was going on in Jerusalem. It's very easy. This is one thing that I thought of as I was thinking this through. It's very easy to be busy ministering to those around us, our Jerusalem. It's very easy to get caught up in ministering to our Jerusalem and forget that we are to be reaching Judea, Samaria, and the world beyond. Because we can think that we are so busy where we're at, how do we have time to do more? But we are commanded to do more. The Lord had already given the directive, and I think we could assume that Philip was being obedient to that directive. The persecution was one of the reasons the early church moved out of Jerusalem. What can we learn from that? God at times uses negative circumstances to accomplish his plan. At times, God uses negative circumstances to accomplish his plan. This morning we were looking at the book of Habakkuk. And we saw in that book God using negative circumstances to accomplish his plan. In this case, God used negative circumstances to move Philip and others out of Jerusalem to preach to people beyond Jerusalem who needed to hear the gospel. And we obviously see from Philip going to Samaria, there were people ready. The fields were what? White unto harvest. They were already prepared. It's not always God's plan to leave a ministry because of negative circumstances. However, in this case, it seems to be what caused Philip to move. He's one of the first deacons, and he moves his ministry. In fact, we're going to see it never seem to come back to Jerusalem, at least not for long. Would the church in Jerusalem feel the loss of such an obedient servant? Yes. Yes. Would God take care of them? Yes. It's often during those times when others are forced to step up and join in the ministry of the local church and take part in it. You know, maybe you're here and you're not active. Here, but not active. Let me ask you, what part are you playing? What part are you participating in? What part are you playing to advance the ministry at Marion? Every one of you should be active in the ministry. I'm not talking about pastoral ministry, just ministering in some way. You should be active. One of the greatest ways for a church to fulfill the Great Commission is to send some of their best workers to reach beyond their Jerusalem. I can't even probably list off our home church that we were sent out from to the mission field in Michigan has sent numerous people from their own church to the mission field. Numerous people, young people, young married people. Others gone to teach at Bob Jones, others, numerous people out of that ministry going to the mission field. Some are in Portugal today. Some have gone to other places. I can think of one that went to South Africa at one time. Numerous places where they've sent. A church should be a sending agency. A church should be sending its people out to fulfill the Great Commission. You know, sometimes we look at it like we're doing our part as long as we're sending, helping other churches send their people. We're really doing our part when we're sending our own. We're doing our part when we're sending our own people to the mission field to reach the lost. Some people didn't like it when God sent us. Wait a second. You know what they said? Some of them, there's too much to do here for you to go. You need to stay. Sometimes it's time to go. Rabbit trail. That's not a rabbit trail. This is. I'm just telling you right in advance, this is a rabbit trail. Pastor Josh is growing up. I warned him I was going to embarrass him today. I warned him. I didn't tell him what I was going to embarrass him about. I warned him I was going to embarrass him. Pastor Josh has grown up in this church. He may one day leave us. If he does, it will hopefully be to carry out the Great Commission. One of the ways a church fulfills that Great Commission is by sending out its own. Josh is one of its own. He's raised here. You want my thoughts on the matter? They're not necessarily God's thoughts. I would like Josh and Katie to be here for years to come. That's what I would like. I believe they're a great asset to the church. Philip was a great asset to the church in Jerusalem. But God sent him out. If God did send them out, who's going to take their place? Who's going to step it up to take their place? Not many young couples are willing to go. Is there a young couple here that would say, boy, if they leave, I can't fill Josh's shoes, but I sure would step in to try. Who would there be here to fill that place? I believe when God sends somebody out, there's somebody who should be obedient and step up. They've been a great asset. I could be wrong, but I wonder if our church has taken them for granted. You know, folks, this isn't meant to be a, I'm not trying to hit you over the head. I want you to think, okay? I want you to think, because we can all take things for granted. Josh is young, and he has a lot to learn in the ministry. I'm old, and I have a lot to learn. I think he's a quicker learner than I am, to tell you the truth. It's harder. I started in the ministry a lot later. It's harder to teach old dogs new tricks. Do you know how good and how blessed you are as a church? How much God has blessed this assembly? We take our blessings for granted so much. There are hundreds of small churches this size all over the country that have no pastor. Hundreds. And that's not going to change anytime soon, I don't think. I talked to a friend of mine who works at a camp in the state of New York. He knows of 13 small churches just in that area with no pastor. Churches about this size. And those who have a pastor, many of them are probably within 10 years of retiring. Not a lot of young guys in the ministry. That sounds like me. 10, 12 years of possibly retiring. I don't know if that's when I'll retire. Retire when God wants me to, but I'm not trying to give him any ideas. But you know what? If Josh wanted to be a senior pastor, he could probably apply at any one of those 13 churches, and they'd probably take him in a heartbeat. God has blessed us with two pastors. Some of you may not see it, don't see it that way, but God has blessed us with two pastors. It's such a blessing to have somebody so young, so dedicated to the service of the Lord, who's still conservative. He is like an anomaly out there. Josh can relate to some of you younger people like I just can't. Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you went to Pastor Josh and told him how much you appreciate his ministry here at Marion? How long has it been? Have you ever gone to him and told him how much you appreciate his ministry here at Marion? Pastors often hear way more complaints from the congregation than they do encouraging words. And that's why pastors are quitting in the droves in America. Make sure you are encouraging Pastor Josh. We have a young man here and a young lady who want to serve God, who want to do what's right. And we should never be doing things that would discourage them from moving forward in the ministry. And we should never do things that would discourage them from staying here in the ministry. Like I said, I want them to stay here for years to come. But my thoughts are not God's thoughts always. Are you praying for him on a regular basis? I was talking to, I've talked to Pastor Josh in the past, and I'm going to let you know something about him. You know, one of the reasons, there's multiple reasons why he came back, but one of the reasons that he stated to me, I think I'm okay at saying this, is because he loves you people. One of the reasons he came back, because he loves you. And he wants to see the church move forward. And I don't doubt that for a second. I've had a lot of conversations with Pastor Josh, and I really believe he loves you. Another true saying is, we often do not appreciate what we have until it's gone. We don't appreciate what we have until it's gone. Another side note, do you know how many churches have no one to play the piano or the organ? I was talking to Pastor Max, and he says, I'm in church after church that there's nobody to play the piano. I said, oh, they'd probably take me as a pastor just because of my wife. And he said, yes. Just because there's somebody to play the piano. We have multiple people to play the piano and at least one person to play the organ. When was the last time you thanked one of the pianists or the organist for their ministry? When you're tempted to complain about something at the church, stop and thank God for how he's blessed us. I don't think we see it. I don't think we see all the blessings. And maybe the church in Jerusalem didn't even see it until Philip was gone. And it's like, oh, what a hole. Philip is now gone and there's such a hole. Somebody had to step up and take care of that hole. Maybe somebody did, maybe somebody didn't. We're not told. I'm sure when God moved Philip on, he was missed by people in Jerusalem. Rabbit trail over. God had sovereignly moved his servant Philip from Jerusalem to Samaria. In his time in Samaria, we don't actually know how long he stayed there in his preaching. There were many who were saved. We're not told the number, but a large number in the city because there was great joy in the city. That's the introduction, folks. Great joy in the city. God used Philip to reach many in his city, and he had to be really excited about the success. You know, you think, man, look at all the people. Maybe I could just stay here, and boy, I could start a church, and there's so many people here to disciple. But that wasn't God's plan either. Verse 26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, and go toward the south unto the way which goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. So he just has this really successful ministry, and God's saying, nope, it's time to go. Time to move on. There's other mission fields, other people to reach. The first time when he goes to Samaria, it just seems to be out of circumstances. This time, God's call was specific on his life. God wants him to start a journey. Go down to Jerusalem. So he's up in Samaria. He's up further north. Need a map right here. He's up here. Jerusalem's down here. Sorry if you can't see over there in the corner. He's up here. God wants him to come down to Jerusalem and then keep going south, probably to Hebron, and then go across to Gaza, toward Gaza. And on that way, there's some desert. And so that's what God's saying. Take off and go on this journey. Go. Just go. Possibly a three or four day trip. I don't know how fast he walked. If he goes all the way to Gaza, it's probably close to 80 miles. That'd be a really fast 2 day trip. He'd be moving. So Philip has to step out in faith. So point number one, a step of faith. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he rose and went. How many of you would wanted more information from God before you took off on a 2 or 3 day journey? Hop in your car and God says, I want you to head down to Miami. Okay. What do you want me, where am I going to stay on the way? Where am I going to get meals? What am I going to do when I'm going to get there? No, just hop in your car and head to Miami. That's not how many of you are wired, I know. My wife, she's not wired that way. Now me, road trip! I get to go on a road trip! But my wife is like, wait a second, what about the details? No questions asked. He just arose and went. My wife wants it all planned out. I just like to go. On this trip, God was telling Philip, just get in your car and drive in this direction. That's hard for detail people. There's been many times in life when I knew God wanted me to head in a certain direction, but I didn't know where I was going to end up. When I left my job at General Motors, I didn't know what God wanted me to do other than I was sure he wanted me to leave my job at General Motors. And I had sought and was sure that he wanted me to go to Northland Baptist Bible College. But beyond that, I had no clue. When I decided to quit, I didn't know where I was going to live. I didn't know how I was going to pay for my family to live. I didn't know what the plan was after that. You know, many times we want to know the plan, the future, before we step out. God doesn't always give us the whole plan. God doesn't always tell us the whole future. In this case, faith was heading in the direction that God wanted and leaving the rest up to Him. I think that's hard for many of us. Maybe stop right here, and the bigger question to ask is, have you ever asked God, Do you believe you are on the path that God has for you? Do you even consider in your life, is this the path that God wants for me? Has God sent me in a direction, or am I just living life on my own? And if God is never directing you, we are to be led of the Spirit. And I think we should be on a path that we think God wants us to be on. You know, some people want to be in control of everything. They might even believe they are following God's path, but the problem is their path often has conditions. They need to know all the details before they embark on God's path. On this journey, they would have said, I'll go, God, but I got to get reservations at the Holiday Inn first, and I've got to work out all my itinerary. I need to know what the weather is. I need to make sure I have finances. I think there's times when God wants you to leave all the details in His hands. One of the first times I preached, I filled in a church in Wisconsin. It probably was a terrible message. We left that morning knowing that, with our three kids in the back seat, knowing that we had enough gas to get to where, I don't even remember where it was, my wife probably would. I just knew I had enough gas in the tank to get to where I was going. We had no money. I believe God wanted us to go. So we drove down praying God would provide. I don't think we had a credit card. We didn't have a credit card. Credit cards can cause you to not trust God. We had no money. We drove down there. I remember talking to my wife saying, well, hopefully they'll pay us an honorarium with cash. We got there, and as the church is emptying out after the service, a gentleman comes up that evening and hands us a check. And I was like, that's not going to get us back. Okay, and we look at each other, and it's like, what are we going to do? The church is emptying out pretty quick here. Not too many people left. One of the last guys to leave gave me what I call a crispy handshake. I shook his hand, and there was crunchiness in there, and I knew what it was. It was God's provision. I know some of you think, well, that's just dumb. Should never take off on a journey not knowing if you have the money. If you're taking off on the journey that God, you know God wants you to do, I mean, all through my life, I didn't have the money to go to Bible college. Some people think you have to save it all first. I didn't have the money to go to Bible college, but God got me through the whole time. He always took care of us. I could stand up here for hours, probably, if I kept thinking of one story after another where God provided when we stepped out. I feel sorry for people who've never stepped out not knowing how the path is going to end and just trusted God. Now you better make sure it's what God wants you to do before you step out. God's been faithful. I remember one time in our chapel at school, going up to the song leader and saying, can we sing Great is Thy Faithfulness today? God's just been faithful to me over and over and over again. And I just want to thank Him. You know, sometimes when God directs you, He does not want you to have all the answers. He wants you to be obedient to His direction. That's called stepping out in faith. And if you don't believe that, think of the faith it took for Noah to build the ark. How many people thought he was crazy for what he was doing? Think of the faith it took for Abraham to head down the road to sacrifice his son Isaac. How many of you think you'd go down that path? What a leap of faith for Moses to reject the security of being called Pharaoh's daughter. I mean, you had security there. You had a lavish lifestyle, and he rejects that. He rejects the pleasures of sin for a season. What would have happened if Gideon would have gotten out his calculator and said, no way, 300 against. What would have happened if David would have got out the calculator? I don't think so, Lord. Have you seen him? I think probably most of us have been those staying in the camp without ever considering God's ability to save from even a Goliath. Faith is trusting God with the details. Faith was trusting in what they knew to be true about God and leaving the things out of their control to Him. I'm in no way saying we shouldn't make plans. I'm no way saying that we should be frivolous with our money or that we should always, never plan ahead or any of those. I'm not saying that. So, because some of you are objecting right now in your heads. You're saying, no, I gotta make my plans, and it's what you're saying is always wrong. I'm not saying that we should never make plans. But there are times to just step out in faith and say, I know this is what God wants me to do, and I don't see the end, and I don't know how it's going to work, but God wants me to do it, and I'm going to just step out. What some people call foolish, others call faith. More than one person told me not to leave General Motors for ministry. They thought it was way too big of a risk for my family. There's been times on that trail where I decided I need to be safe and make reservations. But when I've stepped out in faith, knowing that was His direction and His will, He's always taken care of us. So Philip arose and went. God, I'm gone. And he was then rewarded for stepping out in faith. He's now traveling. And he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. And he read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran to him. Philip ran. Philip's now traveling somewhere between Jerusalem and Gaza in a place that's a desert area. He might have been wondering, I'm on the road, what's God going to do? Sometimes you wonder when you get on the road, what's God going to do? I'm traveling through all this area and there's nothing happening. What's God doing? When God sends us down the path He has chosen for us, He doesn't normally tell us where the opportunities to reach the lost are going to happen. He doesn't say, in 3 or 4 days, I'm going to have you meet this person and I want you to witness to him. God has a path or a road for us to take. We have to be observant for looking for God's opportunities. Because he was heading in the direction, but before he got to Gaza, God gives him an opportunity. Before he ever got to the actual end of the journey, I don't think he got to the end. When God sends us down the path he's chosen for us, he does not tell us where the opportunities are always going to be. What does that tell us? We should be looking for God's prearranged meetings. We should be looking for God's prearranged meetings. Do you believe that God has prearranged meetings for you? I do. If you do, then you should be looking for them. How did Philip know who to speak to? The Holy Spirit told him. And we're not told exactly how the Holy Spirit spoke to Philip. There's a lot of debate today regarding how the Holy Spirit works, but I believe primarily the Holy Spirit works through the Word of God. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I want to ask you a question. I want you to think about it for a second. Pastor Josh and I have tried to have emphasis on reaching out to the lost and witnessing. We've been teaching through the Word those ideas that we need to have that desire. How many of you in the last couple of months have had an increased desire, not saying that you have actually reached out, but how many of you have had an increased desire to reach the lost in the last couple of months? Hopefully some of you have. That's the Holy Spirit using the Word of God to convict you of what you should be doing. And when you're around an unsaved person or convicted that you witness to them, that's the Holy Spirit using the Word of God that's been preached to convict you of your need to witness. One last point. We'll come back to this passage next week, but we can't cover all of it, obviously, today. One last point. God cares for individuals. God had sent Philip to Samaria to preach to a whole community, and many were saved. And then God sends Philip down a dusty, dirty road to reach one person. One Ethiopian. Not even somebody from the tribe of Judah, or even a Jew. God sent Philip on a 2 or 3 day journey just to save one person. To lead one person to the Lord. That tells us that God is interested in saving individuals, and He may send His servants on a long path just for one person that He wants to reach. You know, when God sends you out, you know, what the mindset is easy to get, well, I'm away from town. I'm away from my church. I can't even invite somebody to go to church, and I'm hours away from home. There's no sense in witnessing because I can't invite him to come to church. God may have you 2 or 3 days away to witness to one individual. There might be one person there that God wants you to reach. Don't look at it like I'm away from home, and so there's no need to witness. I don't think Philip probably ever saw the guy again. But when he left, there was a saved individual heading to Ethiopia. Not modern day. We'll get into that maybe next week. Not modern day Ethiopia, but there's a guy heading. You'll probably never see him again. But God is so interested in individuals that He's willing to send His chosen servant just down there to save one person. Luke 15:10 says, "Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents." God is interested in one person, and He might want to use you to be the instrument to save that one person. Well, you don't save them. To lead a person to knowledge of Christ. A couple of comments here before we close. Be more concerned about what God is doing today, how God may want to use you today, than in knowing what God has for you tomorrow. Be observant. Sometimes we get the idea that I'm gonna start preparing to be a witness, and I'm gonna start doing these things so I know how to witness. Well, maybe you're missing the opportunity God has for you today to witness. Be more concerned about what God has for you to do today. I don't know what Pastor Josh and Pastor Josh and Katie, she's like, yes, I finally got that promotion. I don't know what God has for them in the future. I've told you what my desires are. But you know, for them, realistically, God may send them someplace else in the future, but for them right now, what does God have me to do today to be faithful today to reach the lost? To do my part in the ministry here. Take no thought for tomorrow. Worry about today. Next thought. There will be times when to follow God's road, you must step out in faith, not knowing all the details. There's just times when that's going to happen. be on the lookout for God-given opportunities to witness. Philip did not know where God would use him. He only knew the direction. Are you willing to step out in faith to witness to those God brings across your path to see individuals saved whom God loves? God may send you out. And you may be like, why is God taking me here today? I don't know why I had to do this today. I remember coming home from our, we lived out on an acreage, on a farm in Three Hills for a time, and driving home, often tried to look for these type of opportunities, and there's a truck beside the road. And I pull over and talk to him, and he's broken down. I forgot what the problem was, and I said, hey, I think I got something in my garage that might help you. We might be able to I'm kind of known for rigging things, just make it work. And I thought, I think we can make that work on your truck, and we can get you back on the road. Would you like to come over, and we can, yeah, let's go do that. And we got whatever we needed, we got it, and we took it back, and we got his truck going. But before he left, I'd stopped at the house to make sure I had track, too. And I got a track, and I just talked to him about his need for salvation. He told me what town he lived in. I told him what church to go to. Now, he didn't make a profession of faith right then. But I really believe that that was a God-given opportunity to witness to that guy. And he was soft. He was tender. He didn't make a profession, but he was saying, I really think this is what I need. My life is messed up. Like I say, I don't know what God did with him after that, but I took the opportunity to witness to a person when God gave it to me. You know what? There's been other times I'm sure I have just flown right on by those opportunities. You know, I think if we're surrendered to the Holy Spirit, if we're filled with the Spirit, and we're led with the Spirit, we're going to see a lot more of those. If you're never seeing them, I would say you're not filled with the Spirit, you're not led by the Spirit, and you're not obedient and submissive to the Spirit. Are you ever seeing those? I think a lot of us could say we're guilty. We're guilty. This really wasn't meant to be I could tell how quiet it is in here today. This wasn't meant to be a slam you down type of message. This is meant to be an encourage you message to see God at work and to step out in faith. We just don't have faith to believe that God is going to save people. We just don't have the faith. Otherwise, we would be doing more witnessing. We would be looking for those opportunities. Somebody told me before the service how gave out tracts this week. Saw somebody, gave out tracts. Talked to them, gave out tracts. If all of us were doing that, do you think God would honor that? Talking to people about the Lord, handing them a tract, maybe inviting them to this. Do you think God would honor that? What do you think? Yes. I encourage you. I'm not trying to beat you up today. It may sound that way. I'm not trying to. I'm trying to encourage you to do the right things. Be an encouragement to Pastor Josh and Katie. Be an encouragement to the others in ministry here in the church. Be encouragement to those who clean the church. You know how few people are cleaning the church? Look at the list and thank those who are doing it. Thank the Dowdies for their ministry that they do, keeping up the outside of the church. It's a thankless job. And I know once you start naming, you miss somebody. Brother Jay for reading the scripture. Other people who are doing other ministries. And like you say, I know I forget. We need to be encouraging one another. And I'm trying to encourage you today to be faithful to God in the area of witness. Be faithful and trust Him that He will lead you to the right people and that, they may not get saved, but you're going to feel a lot better when you witness. Even if they don't get saved, you're going to be like, I was obedient to God today. I'm leaving it up. I'm leaving the rest to Him. He sent me down this path. I witnessed. And you're going to feel good. On the opposite, when you walk past that person and you know God wants you to do that and you don't, it's just going to discourage you even more. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be faithful in witnessing and reaching out to the lost. Thank you for this great example of Philip, who just saw what you wanted him to do, didn't know what the end was going to be, but just took off. Even when he saw the Ethiopian eunuch, he ran to meet him. Father, we thank you that you sent somebody to tell us the gospel. Help us to be faithful to tell others. Lord, you've been so good to us. Thank you for bringing Josh and Katie here. Lord, we don't know how long they will be here, but we thank you for all they've done and what they will do while they're still here. I pray that you'd help us to be encouraging one another. And Lord, help us, because we're all prone to complain. And Father, when we just complain about things in the church continually, it just discourages others. Lord, help us not to be that way. Help us to love each other and care for each other and build each other up. We thank you for all you've done for us through Jesus Christ, and in his name we pray. Amen.